Following Pope Benedict's pilgrimage to the Marian Shrine of Lourdes earlier this month, another top Vatican official has been visiting the shrine in southwestern France this week. The head of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity, Cardinal Walter Kasper, joined a rather special pilgrimage made up mostly of Anglicans on Wednesday, marking the feast day of their own Marian Shrine, Our Lady of Walsingham, on the North Norfolk coast in eastern England. Led by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, the group of Anglican bishops with over 400 pilgrims attended a Mass in the Basilica of Lourdes, celebrated by Cardinal Kasper, and then attended an ecumenical seminar on the theme of the Church's mission for unity. Before the Cardinal left for Lourdes, I asked him about the significance of this event for the Anglican-Catholic dialogue.
Yes, Lourdes is known for its miracles, and this is also a kind of a miracle that people from Great Britain and Catholics and Anglicans are coming from the National Marian Shrine of Walsingham to Lourdes in a common pilgrimage, and the theme of the pilgrimage is unity of the Church, and I think that's a significant sign of our times and of the situation of the Church, that Anglicans with, I do not know exactly, 8 Anglican bishops are coming and headed by the primate of the Church of England, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who will do the homily whilst I will say Mass. And I think it's an important sign, and it signifies that our ecumenical pilgrimage made many progress, many steps ahead. And not only also Mary, issue of controversy in the past now, is no longer so much dividing, but uniting and reconciling the churches. So I'm very happy to go to Lourdes, and I look forward, and I think it's a significant event.
This is, in fact, the first time that an Archbishop of Canterbury, I believe, has ever been to the Shrine of Lourdes, which is seen as such a significant centre of Catholic devotion. What do you hope, perhaps, will be the consequences of this?
Well, we had the last document of our commission, ecumenical commission between the Anglican Church and the Roman Catholic Church, is about Mary. It's a very nice document, Mary, Grace and Hope, and a very positive document. And it's not a full agreement, but a very high degree of agreement I never expected before. And so there are many things under the way already now, and I think this could be also seen as a consequence of it, because the Archbishop is very much in favor of such theological dialogues. I started in the last days a little bit about the English Reformation, which is not so well known for Europeans, and I found, the King Henry VIII, he destroyed this Marian Shrine of Walsingham, but the English reformers, as I maintained, the dogmas of the ancient Church and also what is in the Apostolic Creed, the believing in Mary as Mother of God and Ever Virgin was clear for them, and also traditional Marian feasts during the liturgical year were maintained in the Church of England. And so there is an old tradition, but since the Enlightenment, all was a little bit neglected and forgotten. But I still today think more the so-called high Anglicans or Anglo-Catholics are very much in favor of Marian devotion, and there's not a big difference between us and them, and I hope that Mary can help us in our ecumenical pilgrimage.
And yet, during your recent visit to the Lambeth Conference, you reiterated that the Church of England decision to push ahead with the ordination of women bishops means that it's no longer possible to see what you called a clear path to unity. How do you place, if you like, this miracle of Lourdes, as you're calling it, within this clearly very difficult road ahead on the Anglican-Catholic dialogue?
I think, first of all, such a pilgrimage is a spiritual event, and spirituality is the heart and the core of the ecumenism. It's not only documents, it's not only manifestations, that's prayer And in this, under this aspect, such a pilgrimage is very important. It can help our dialogue. It can help also the Anglican Communion to find together again and to overcome all these rifts of the last months and years. And so under this point of view, I see it very, very positive and constructive. Well, I think that not the liberal Anglicans will come to Lourdes and not the two evangelicals, but there are different tendencies in Anglicanism. And well, we must, as Catholics, we must take the Anglicans as they are. And if they come to Lourdes, they are welcome and we are happy about it. And we will share our common faith and also our common devotion on Mary. And this will bring us ahead. This is not a thing you can calculate. That's a spiritual event.
The Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, is leading this pilgrimage. What is your message, very simply, to him on this occasion?
First of all, I'm very happy to meet him again. We are more or less friends. And I am happy to meet him in Lourdes. And I hope he will sustain in this way also our dialogue and our further going on in the ecumenical dialogue. It's true, after all these decisions of the Church of England and the Anglican Communion, the dialogue is much more difficult, and well, the decision for women's ordination to episcopacy is a hard point for us, but nevertheless, we will go on in the dialogue under different auspices and so on, but I think Our Lady will help us, and ladies know always a way out where men are helpless, and so Our Lady will help us too.
I've known about Lourdes since I was about 10, I suppose. To read about it, so it's been somewhere I've longed to visit for many, many years.
In his homily at the Mass in Lourdes, Archbishop Rowan Williams spoke movingly of the miracle of faith that is often communicated in a mysterious way when words and actions fail, when we feel most lost and confused. As he was preparing to head back to the UK, I asked the Anglican leader what he hoped could be achieved by an ecumenical pilgrimage of this kind.
I think in the short term, it's simply an opportunity for praying together and growing an understanding, but also, I think, for the sort of conversation that we were able to have yesterday afternoon when Cardinal Casper and I opened up a dialogue on Mary and the unity of the Church. In the longer term, who knows? We all know, I think, that we're at a quite difficult point in relations between the two churches worldwide at the level of negotiation and official dialogue. And yet, on an occasion like this, we discover how very much we do have to talk about. That's not insignificant. We discover, I suppose, that we are, in many important respects, speaking the same language.
At one level, as you say, though, the dialogue has never seemed perhaps so difficult. Cardinal Casper is talking about shifting our focus for the goals of dialogue, since full visible unity seems to be off the agenda in the current situation. What do you understand by his words that he said to you at the Lambeth Conference recently?
I think in a way there were no surprises in what Cardinal Casper said. It's what he said privately and publicly, that the ordination of women as bishops, other issues in the Anglican Communion mean that the integration and recognition of ministries between the churches is not something about which we can hold our breath in the immediate future. And yet, and again this came out very clearly yesterday, the notion that the long-term goal still has to be some sort of tangible and visible unity, that is something we can still hold on to, even if we don't imagine that we're going to negotiate it into being in the next couple of years.
You say you'd always longed to go there to the Grotto of Lourdes. Can you tell me something of your impressions, your reactions when you first went to pray there at the Grotto and in the Basilica?
I found it almost indescribably moving yesterday to be with this vast, vast crowd of people drawn together to celebrate the Incarnation, to celebrate the healing will of God, and to think, and I suppose this is the most remarkable powerful illustration of the Magnificat itself, God exalting the humble. And I think that's perhaps the most utterly striking thing about Lourdes. It begins with this girl from a desperately poor background, not very well instructed, suddenly becoming the place where, the pivot on which things turn, the place where things change. And that I found, yes, something that moved me deeply.
You talked in your homily, indeed, about being open to the voice of God in these most unexpected places, as the young Bernadette herself was. And yet it's quite a difficult message for the institutional churches, both Anglican and Catholic, to grasp, isn't it?
It is, and it was difficult in Bernadette's time. I remember from my very early reading about Bernadette, the reaction of the parish clergy to her, Abbé Perronel, the parish priest at Lourdes, and his deep reluctance to accept that this girl had anything to teach him. So it's, I suppose, something that runs right through the Christian story, whether we're looking at St. Anthony of Egypt, St. Francis of Assisi, or Bernadette, you know, the people on the edges bringing renewal in towards the centre, so to speak.
Lourdes is one of the most important shrines, seen as a place of very Catholic devotion. There will be, I'm sure, those within your own Anglican communion, within the Church of England, who see this as perhaps a step too far. What is your message to them?
I think my message is that everything that I've seen here is actually focused on Jesus Christ. That the prayer, the devotion goes on here, is deeply Christocentric. And yesterday, sharing in the procession of the Blessed Sacrament, I think one can't, again, easily forget the impression of 15 or 20,000 people in silence gazing at the host and thinking, well, whatever's at the heart of this, it is the gospel and the Christ of the gospel.
My thanks there to Dr. Rowan Williams, Archbishop of Canterbury and leader of the Worldwide Anglican Communion. And earlier you heard Cardinal Walter Casper, head of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity.